The first reading from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 21 through 27. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Fear not, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and the vine give their full yield. Be glad, O sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain, as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years which the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat it in a plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no one else. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Here ends the reading of the first lesson. The second reading for this day comes from the First Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life with godly respect and respectful in every way. This is good and is acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, that man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony to which was born at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Here ends the second reading. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Thanksgiving Eve is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 25 through 33. Jesus' words, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What shall we drink?' Or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things shall be yours as well." This is the gospel of our Lord. I came across a story entitled "Sunday Clothes." A little boy was walking down a dirt road one Sunday afternoon when he came to a Y in the road where he met a little girl coming from the other direction. He said, "Hello, Hi, replied the little girl. Where are you going? Asked the little boy. I've been to church this morning, and I'm going on my way to my auntie's, answered the little girl. I'm also on my way home from church. Which church do you go to? Asked the little boy. I go to the Methodist church down the road, replied the little girl. What about you? I go to the Lutheran church back at the top of the hill, replied the little boy. They discovered that they were both going in the same way, so they decided that they'd walk together. They came to a low spot in the road where spring rains had partially flooded the road, so there was no way they could get across to the other side without getting wet. If I get my new Sunday dress wet, my mom's going to skin me alive, said the little girl. My mom will tan my hide too if I get my Sunday suit wet, replied the little boy. I tell you what I think I'll do, said the little girl. I'm going to take off all of my clothes and hold them over my head and wade across. That's a good idea, replied the little boy. I'm going to do the same thing with my suit. So they did as they said they were going to do and waded across to the other side without getting their clothes wet. They were standing there in the sun waiting to drip dry before putting their clothes back on when the little boy finally remarked, you know, I never realized before just how much difference there really is between a Methodist and a Lutheran. As Pastor Jennifer related to me before service, she said, I always tell the people that the Christian faith is like ice cream. It comes in different flavors. But we're glad that we could have a mixing of those flavors on a day like this and also lift up again the importance of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, at least in this country, is celebrated once a year, but really there is no limit on it. It can be celebrated anytime, every day, and that is what we're encouraged to do in Scripture. As we look at the three lessons tonight, we see the words from the prophet Joel that something new was going to happen. Most of the time in the Old Testament, prophets brought dire words of warning, didn't they? So if a prophet rose up in your midst, they weren't exactly the words that you wanted to hear. It meant that people had strayed from doing what was right. And they were to call the people back to God. But in this particular text, in the book of the prophet Joel, we're told a different story. Because now he's telling them that there is good news coming. And it's really neat to see in both our Old Testament and Gospel lessons that two things are lifted up, almost the same, at least somewhat similar. In the Old Testament lesson, the writer put down the words from God, fear not. Fear not. We live in a world filled with fear, don't we? And there are so many things, whether it's health concerns or financial concerns or accidents or falling or terrorism, it becomes some days a fearful time for people, especially when we have this 24/7 news cycle, and within a minute we can see scenes from all over the world of what's going on and how people are reacting to it. And yet, one of the key messages that we receive from our God in Scripture is what, as mentioned in those two lessons, fear not. Do not be anxious. Fear not. We know that we're not in control. We know that we can't change things by being fearful or by being anxious about them. But we're also commanded to rejoice in so many parts of Scripture, to rejoice and be glad and to really look at the gifts and what all that God has done in this earth. Now, coming from Yuma, where we get, 3 inches of rain a year, we tend to appreciate that sound. I open my doors at that time and listen and remember what it was like hearing that on a more regular basis. But for something as simple as raindrops, we're called to be thankful. That the cycles keep on going, that God keeps on moving. And the Israelites are assured that they're going to have enough to eat, that they're going to have enough wine and oil, and that they'll have their plenty and they'll be satisfied. But they're also a little bit warned there. When you're satisfied, don't forget where it came from. Don't forget to give the thanks where the thanksgiving is due. And I say that not as one word, but as two words. In that second lesson, we have some excellent, how should I say it, encouragements to be people of prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And thanksgiving. If we look at life with a fearful eye, we see one thing. If we look at life through a thankful lens, we see another. Right? And that is what we're called to. We are people of hope in this world, and we have that hope, as that text tells us, because of the great good news of God through Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us all. That's an amazing thing that we can give thanks for at all times. Now, the gospel lesson is not meant to pick on the females in the congregation who might spend more time choosing their clothes than most of us guys do, obviously. They do get anxious about what they're wearing, don't they? To some degree, they want it to be just right for that occasion. So these are nice words for them to see also, that you look your best when you're just dressed as you feel like it. And you're more probably comfortable that way also. And he calls to mind the images to our sight, the images of nature and how God continues to care for all of nature, even the little birds of the field, the grass of the field, the birds of the air. But in our thanksgiving, we are to seek his kingdom. And all these things will be ours as well. So please take that with you and know that God holds you close. Amen.